morning, everybody. Another good day in the Assembly today. We have a number of important bills that we're going to talk about, especially focusing on not only the issues of the day, but things that we know are really important for Wisconsin to set the standard for. So first up, we're going to talk about the debate times and the resolution we are doing to support the good people of Israel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As the Speaker said, we've got another great day here in the State Assembly. We're going to start out this morning. We have two hometown heroes. Representative Roser will be hosting one, as well as Representatives Palmieri and Schraff. We'll then take up Assembly Resolution 15, honoring the life and public service of Representative Mike Ensley. Representative Ensley's family is here today to join us in honoring his public service. And then we will bring up a resolution that is going to be introduced this morning. It was circulated for co-sponsorship yesterday by Representative Subak's office. It was my honor to work with Representative Subak, Representative Dan Reamer, and Speaker Voss on the resolution condemning the atrocities committed by Hamas in their terrorist activity in Israel, and making clear that the Wisconsin State Assembly and the state of Wisconsin stands with our friends in Israel during this unprecedented and just terrible time that the people of Israel are going through based on these terrorist acts. Then we have a full calendar today. We've got 60 minutes of debate on Assembly Bill 378, 75 minutes on Assembly Bill 377, and 150 minutes on Assembly Bill 465. We'll take those bills up in order once we finish our work with the resolution. So to talk about one of the other resolutions that we have up on the calendar today, I'll turn things over to Representative Duco.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm sure everyone's aware that October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We are supported in that effort by a lot of our friends around the country. As you know, the NFL wears a lot of pink in the month of October. Unfortunately, here in the Midwest, we have a higher rate of breast cancer per person than we do across the nation, and don't understand why. So it's important we bring attention to this matter. Early detection is a cure, and it's something that you look at your friends, you look at your neighbors, you look at your sisters, and you say, have you all been to your doctor? Have you had your mammogram? The sooner we detect it, the sooner we can cure you and move on. It's a disease we'd like to put behind us, and we have a bipartisan resolution today. And unfortunately, I think almost every member of our caucus has been infected one way or another by this terrible disease. So it's a good time to remind everybody to get preventative care, and hopefully we can put this disease behind us. Thank you very much, and I'd like to now introduce Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Representative Duco. I'm Representative Dave Murphy, and we're bringing a resolution today to highlight hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. And I'm sure the chief clerk is going to be happy with me today when he has to recite that a number of times. But the reason that this is important is HCM causes the heart muscle to increase in thickness. And many patients go undiagnosed. And 85% of individuals with this are undiagnosed right now. There currently is no viable medication to thin that heart muscle, so the only thing that can be done is surgery. Because there is no medication to thin that heart muscle, the longer the patient goes without being diagnosed, the worse the problem will be. And this problem can be genetic, and for that reason, the more people that get tested, the more chance we have of notifying those families that they may be at risk. So I think important piece of medical information here that we need to get out to the public. So with that, next up, talking about women in sports, is Representative Barb Beaker.
Thank you, Representative Murphy, and thank you all for being here today. This isn't new legislation. You all saw this last session, but I will tell you, a lot has happened in 2 years. This problem has only grown more challenging, and so listen for that on the floor today, some things that have happened since this legislation was last introduced. To remind you, I originally brought up this legislation because I had a constituent come to me who was seeing this sort of thing occur. It was remote at the time. And since that time, you know, people became aware of Leah Thomas and Riley Gaines, and a number of other things have happened. So have your ears tuned to some of the different things that have happened in this challenge in the past 2 years. And, you know, I look forward to this being a pro-woman day in the legislature. Next up, we'll have Representative Allen.
Good morning. We're all intimately familiar with how difficult pre-adolescent and adolescent years can be, because we've all gone through it. And we know that today the pressures facing our youth are perhaps more and higher and more challenging than they've ever been before, with social media and everything else. AB 465 is the Help Not Harm bill. The bill was written to help, not harm, minors struggling with gender dysphoria. Too many stories we've heard from detransitioners who were rushed into making a hasty, harmful, and irreversible choice. Things like sterility, bone density loss, heart issues are several issues that puberty suppressants and cross-sex hormones can create. These changes that are undergone cannot be reversed. What this bill does is it grants minors the time for their minds to develop in order to make the right choice for them at the appropriate developmental age. I want to make clear that this bill does not prohibit social transitioning, and it does not affect adults. It allows minors the chance to hit the pause button before making a significant choice. The bill has been based on significant medical research and long-term clinical studies that question the rush to medical gender transition for minors. I'm thankful for all those who came to the hearing for testimony, and I'm hopeful that once the bill passes, it'll pass in the Senate, and that Governor Evers will do the right thing and protect minors here in Wisconsin. Now I'll turn this back over to Speaker Voss.
Today's effort, I know I have read some media reports where people say, why are you bringing bills forward when Governor Evers has already said he's going to veto them? Well, number one, the answer is pretty simple. We think they're the right thing to do for Wisconsin. We think they're the right thing to do for Wisconsin families. You know, it's interesting that so many times we have heard people, especially on the left, talk about what they consider to be settled science. And it's interesting that if you go back in history, the way to treat mental illness 50 to 100 years ago was a lobotomy. And at the time, that was settled science. That's just the way it was supposed to be. We can go back to example after example after example where the human mind has been open to say there are different ways of doing things, and it shouldn't necessarily be a one-size-fits-all solution because we have settled science. So I think we are now seeing around the world that other countries have begun to look and say what science said should be done to minors clearly is wrong, and other countries are beginning to transition to a way that is a much more affirmative care model that is not focused on trying to do things that are potentially harmful in the long run, but do things that are potentially helpful to deal with the underlying issues, not the simplistic solutions that sometimes are offered. So hopefully that Governor Evers has a change of heart, and we have the ability to send these bills to be at the forefront of the effort that's happening around our country, mirroring what's occurring across the world. So with that, happy to answer a few questions.
Is impeachment and pro se what's off the table?
No, absolutely not. So what I would say is I have listened to the folks that have reached out to me and that I have sought their advice. What they have said, if you listen to the words that they talk about, especially in David Prosser's memo that he released, we want to focus on what is occurring in office. That is the reason that even though we all agree that recusal should have happened, it would have provided a lot more confidence in the decisions of the judiciary, I think Justice Protase, which made a mistake in not recusing. But she has said she can be an independent jurist. If we see that the contributions that the Democratic Party made to her, expecting a result in that, that will certainly be something that we have to keep on the table, because she will not live up to her oath. So hopefully she does the right thing and follows the law, because obviously the most important part, I'm not a lawyer, but the most important thing in our legal system is the ability to have stare decisis, where when a court makes a decision, every time a new person enters the court, you don't upset everything just because you have new people on the court. So if they follow the very common practice of stare decisis, they won't decide any different than the last Supreme Court did, and the U.S. Supreme Court's already found. We know ultimately that if they decide to inject their own political bias inside the process and not follow the law, we have the ability to go at the U.S. Supreme Court, and we also have the ability to hold her accountable to the voters of Wisconsin.
Mr. Speaker, do you plan to move forward with any impeachment moves today?
No.
Okay. Will you make any announcement later today that you might do that?
I think I just did.
I'm just making sure it's not going to be something later this afternoon.
I think it's super unlikely.
So are you saying that if she rules against your maps, you're going to move for impeachment?
We don't know that yet. I want to see how she goes through the process. She said she's going to follow the law. The most important aspect of the law is following past precedent. And if we follow past precedent, the laws are constitutional. We've seen two different Supreme Courts find that they are. So let's hope she sticks to her word, which she said in her recusal ruling, that there's no need for her to recuse because she's going to follow the law. We'll see if she does.
What about the impeachment resolution for Mary Wolf?
So I know there's been an effort from some of my colleagues to have impeachment. I have sensed no groundswell whatsoever from my colleagues in the Assembly. There are, of course, two ways to remove somebody under the Constitution. One is removal for redress, basically, where someone doesn't do the job of the person in the office. I clearly think that out of the 6 million people in Wisconsin, there is more than one person who can run elections in our state. So I wish Megan Wolf would do the honorable thing, and that's leave her position. She clearly doesn't have the confidence of the legislature, which is required under the Constitution through the confirmation process. The fact that she's trying to hold out is wrong. I think we should go through the legal process we have. She is not there legally today. We have an opportunity through the process set out in statute where JCLO has the ability to appoint a new person once we've gotten past that date. I think that's a much preferable option than doing something where we are impeaching somebody who's already illegally in the office.
On the bills today, is there any chance that you have the votes to override a veto? Have you had any of those conversations with any Democrats, or is what's being done today dead on arrival?
Well, there's already an opportunity. There's always an opportunity to override if people listen to their constituents. I mean, we know if you look at public polling on these topics, they are overwhelmingly popular. Most parents do not support the mutilation of young children beyond their ability to consent. When in Wisconsin we require parental consent and don't even allow kids to be tattooed and things like that, it certainly seems to me that something that is more life-changing than even getting a tattoo should not be allowed unless we have a different process. So hopefully we have Democrats join us, or Governor Evers actually listens to the people like he says he often does and does the right thing.
What was Justice Rosenstein's recommendation to you on impeachment?
I'd have to ask her.
Speaker Ross, when are we going to see the Brewer's deal on the Assembly floor?
The Assembly hopefully will take it up next week, Tuesday. The committee is going to be voting on the bill later this week. So hopefully we'll have a good, strong bipartisan support, and it gets to the Assembly through the same way. Okay.
Thank you.
Everybody. Have a good day.